Welcome to a special spin-off episode of the Big Wedding Planning Podcast, the Spotlight Series. These are branded content shows featuring innovative up-and-comers, disruptors, creators, and entrepreneurs. We think these businesses are awesome, and we believe we should be the ones to tell you about them. The Big Wedding Planning Podcast. I'm Michelle Martinez.
And I'm Christy Matthews. And on today's show, Birdie Gray Bridesmaids Dresses. Birdie Gray is a new direct-to-consumer bridesmaid dress brand disrupting how modern women shop for bridesmaids dresses online. One of the fastest-growing wed tech companies in the space right now, Birdie Gray was founded by two best friends, Grace Lee, formerly of InStyle magazine and Kate Spade New York, and Monica Ashour of McKinsey & Company and Ralph Lauren. Combined, they've been bridesmaids over a dozen times, sometimes in the same wedding party.
They founded the company less than 2 years ago to tackle the age-old problem for women, the bridesmaid dress, by offering beautiful, trendy, flattering bridesmaid dresses, all for under $100.
And they all have pockets.
Grace and Monica, welcome to the pod.
Hey, ladies. Thanks for having us.
Happy to be here.
So you're joining us from LA, sunny LA, right?
Correct. We are based in LA and New York. I'm in LA and Monica's in New York.
So modern. We're very bi-coastal like that.
And it's a modern friendship, a story of friendship and business. Tell us about that.
Exactly. So I'm Grace. I'm the founder and CEO of the company. We launched about 20 months ago in October 2017. And, you know, we are basically a direct-to-consumer bridesmaids dress brand, and all of our dresses are $99. And when we started the company, we instantly got traction with our millennial customers. And, you know, I quickly brought on Monica to be my co-founder and COO. It's interesting because, you know, my background is very much in the front end sort of experience. So, you know, my background is in marketing and social content and digital, all things digital. Whereas Monica, and I'll let her speak to sort of like her background.
I'm like all the other boring stuff that people don't want to talk about.
Exactly.
I am the janitor and the IT guy. And the numbers, like bean counter in the background. Yeah, so we are a dynamic duo. But to your earlier question, Grace and I are BFF from our 20s in New York City, where we were like running around as like broke chicks at our first jobs out of college. No, right out of college. Like moved to the Big Apple. Like she had a fabulous fashion job, but was definitely broke because we were in fashion.
Yes, I was.
I had like a sad corporate bureaucracy job, but also still broke. But we made the best of it, being idiots in the city. And then she moved after many years.
Well, I spent 10 years in New York and Monica and I had a solid run. But when 10 years later, I ended up moving to LA and
caught the startup bug.
Exactly.
So where are you from originally, Monica?
I'm LA, like born and raised. So I grew up in LA. Yeah. So in that sense, we really are totally bi-coastal.
Yeah. And Grace, where are you from?
I'm from Seattle, Tacoma, Washington.
Okay.
The Pacific Northwest. But I actually ended up moving to New York like my senior year of college to do an internship at InStyle. And I had every intention of moving back to Seattle afterwards. But then I was like, you know what? I'm going to stay in New York. And I ended up doing a 10-year stint, which is pretty cool.
So when y'all were like besties traipsing around New York, probably drinking cocktails you couldn't afford and like, you know, making it work. The weddings that you were in together were like coworkers and, you know, mutual friends that were like, we need
exactly
bridesmaids.
Mutual friends. We were in a handful of weddings together because we all kind of ran in the same circle.
Yeah, we had like a tight knit group of girlfriends through the years, and one by one they all started getting picked off.
Exactly.
Except us. At least not me until much later. And so yeah, it was super fun. We'd do the whole thing, like from the engagement party to
bridal shower,
bachelorette parties, and then being in the wedding itself, and there were often destination weddings. And then ultimately, it's now turning into baby shower. That's like a whole other thing. But yeah, we've been in the trenches together for sure.
Was the seed planted then for like this is crazy spending $300 on a dress, or is it just insane that if you told yourselves 5 years ago, we're going to actually have a bridesmaid dress company one day?
You know, that's not so far off. Like, we didn't have the idea for the company 5 years ago, but I would say that Monica and I were best friends, but we're completely opposite in terms of our skill set. So, you know, in thinking about who I wanted to bring on to help me start the company, she was like the obvious choice, not only because of our friendship, but also she has the exact sort of complementary skill set to mine. And so I felt like we could work really well together. And then on top of that, you know, we have that mutual trust just from years of friendship.
Yeah.
So let me go back with you a little bit here. Grace, you're from Seattle. Monica, you're from LA. What were you studying in college? And what college? And what year did you start college?
Oh my gosh, I'm totally going to date myself. But I went to school. I graduated college in 2003. I went to the University of Washington. And I actually studied political science and communications, wow, which I don't really apply in any way today. But, you know, I had every intention of becoming like a news reporter, which is like kind of laughable now. But, you know, I wanted to go into journalism. And then that's what brought me to New York to do this internship at InStyle. Because I was like, well, I kind of want to do hardcore news, but let me give fashion a try.
Never and that's sort of,
yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
No. I was going to say, maybe you wanted to be a weather person because of all that rain in Seattle. Like,
I know, like, right?
I want to talk about this rain and I can do it in a different way than these people.
Exactly.
So you thought maybe you were going to be a journalist?
I wanted to in college, which kind of led me towards sort of like the editorial path. And then when I moved to New York for the internship, I was like, wow, fashion is really where I want to be. And I kind of put journalism on hold and I kind of went down the fashion editorial path and stayed in it for quite some time.
Did you always like have a knack for like dressing like fashionably? Did you read fashion magazines growing up? Like, were you into fashion?
Oh yeah, 100%. I mean, I would like read 17 YM magazine in the 90s. Yeah. And then when I got older, I would like read Cosmo and eventually like Vogue.
Yeah. I feel like, Grace, you were born with like perfectly painted fingernails.
Like, I hate that girl.
Never does she not have the most amazing manicure.
That's awesome.
They're going to put that on your gravestone one day.
Grace. Here lies Grace with the perfectly painted fingernails. Cool. Then you got to New York and like, this is where I need to be.
I was 21 years old. I actually graduated college a year early because I did a ton of like summer school. And so I was freshly 21, I think, when I moved there. And I was like, wow, I don't know anybody in the city. I don't have a real job, but I know that this is where I need to be.
Awesome. And Monica, how about you?
Sure. So I went to college at the University of Pennsylvania. So that was like the first time I set foot on the East Coast, leaving LA as like a total Cali girl.
Wow.
And I studied business. So I went to like Wharton undergrad and got an economics degree. And like a good nerdy Asian girl, then like either got a job in consulting or banking in the big city. That was like the thing to do. I don't even know if that's still a thing to do. Probably not.
Everyone's going into tech.
At a startup. So I'm like 40-year-old virgin starting so late. But anyway, so so I got like a great corporate gig and really enjoyed doing that, wearing my boxy Ann Taylor suit, like traipsing around with my teeny luggage, like to Minneapolis and like other really exotic places like that, like cost cutting and things. But like earning my stripes as far as like business and operations, and had like a great time. Never ever thought I would end up really like working at a startup. Like, I didn't consider myself an entrepreneur at all because I've been so corporate for like my whole career. But I always loved things that were consumer facing. So like a lot of the clients that I served were in beauty and in luxury. And I really started to gravitate towards that because it's so much more fun than like semiconductors. Like, well, I don't even know what a semiconductor is or how to sell them. So so ended up and like working more kind of on the consumer side. And, you know, a couple different jobs, ended up at Ralph Lauren, but that was a very brief stint. And that's when Grace sort of approached me. She told me about the idea when she first thought of it. And this was like one of a couple of ideas that you had. But this one, I was like, oh my God, that's a great idea. It makes so much sense. And then I jumped ship and here I am.
Monica, you went to New York. You continued your education in New York and studied more of the same?
No. I just graduated from college and then got my first job doing consulting.
Wait, how did you guys meet? Where did you meet?
Well, okay, so
we have a ton of mutual friends.
Yeah, if it's not really obvious, we're both Asian and we're Korean American.
This is a podcast, so nobody can see you.
Okay, so we're both Korean American, and yeah, so I feel like all Korean people sort of know each other, are cousins with each other, like hang out with the same people,
friends
like go to the same like tragic Asian parties, especially in your 20s. I think, Grace, I actually met you outside of like Asia to Cuba or some like restaurant at a birthday party that we were both invited to. And we were like both smoking a cigarette in the rain or something super cheesy. And I was like, this girl has dope eyelashes. Like, who are you?
And look at her nails.
Yeah.
And her nails
are dope
fantastic.
Manicure.
Oh.
And like then
this
we became
very
like
Asian
friends.
Broad city.
So, yeah.
And, you're like, meet cute.
And because Grace worked in fashion, she was like such an awesome like friend to have, because she always had like access to parties and like red carpets and Secret Santa. Her presents were the best because she had all this like free stuff. Right? It was
totally.
So good.
The swag.
So. Exactly.
So you like met at like a party probably at some point outside smoking a cigarette.
Yeah, we met socially for sure. We have so many friends of friends.
Yeah.
I feel
that's
like,
awesome.
Yeah.
And so you guys were like, oh, we're totally friends now. Like there was instant connection.
Yeah, totally. And then you actually lived in Tribeca when I was on the Lower East Side. So we were then kind of neighbors. So we would hang out all the time.
Yeah. And her office was like, we were both in Midtown and her office was maybe like 3 or 4 blocks away from mine. And so during like pretty much every day we would like go to MoMA and have green juice or like walk around like Midtown.
Okay, cool. So then fast forward, you're both in your, you know, corporate jobs. And when did the first bridesmaid request come for you being a bridesmaid?
Oh, the very first time I was a bridesmaid was probably when I was 22 or 23. It was my friend from back home who had gotten married at 25, I want to say. And I was completely broke. I can't even remember where we bought our dresses, but it was like this taffeta champagne short bubble hem dress.
Oh my god, bubble hem.
Yeah, do you
That's
remember
like
that
extra.
Bubble hem with like a sash,
like a beaded sash,
and I think it was like $300, and I was so broke.
What's a bubble hem, by the way?
When it was goes like under.
It was like one of the early 2000s sort of trends with like a tulip style sort of hem.
It took up half of your closet because it was like big and fluffy and it weighed like 1,000 pounds.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So you were like in this dress that you never would have picked for yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was the first time I was a bridesmaid. I had after that been a bridesmaid 5 more times. I'd say that I was most recently a bridesmaid a couple years ago, and this is where I got the idea, because I was no longer in my 20s, yet the pain point was still very real and still the same. I was like, why do I have to spend so much on a bridesmaid's dress? And I realized that there is major white space. You know, being a bridesmaid, you do tons of research. You're online, you're comparing, you're trying to figure out, you're ordering swatches, all of that. And I was like, wow, it's kind of silly. Like, why? It's not like traditional evening wear where there's all these designer touches. It's a bridesmaid's dress. So why do we have to spend so much? And that's before, you know, the cost of alterations. The average cost of a bridesmaid's dress is $165. And that's like a run-of-the-mill bridesmaid's dress. And so, you know, when I was in this wedding, I obviously had more disposable income, but the pain point was still very much the same. And so the idea for Birdie Gray was born.
Oh, I just thought of a funny story, though, about that first wedding that we were both in with that dress. Like, it was painful already because it's expensive and it's just kind of nerve-wracking. We don't really know what we're doing. But we also went out and partied so hard. I think the week before, we went to like a Dead Mouse rave.
Yeah.
Like a full-blown rave in New York City. And we were so like hungover for days. Like, I remember I was like walking like sideways down the aisle.
Yeah, I was like
eyes crossed.
I can't bridesmaid today.
Like, hands shaking.
I can't bridesmaid today.
Across the country to be in this wedding.
Yeah.
And we were like the worst bridesmaids ever. I can't believe she didn't fire us on the spot. We were so broken from the Dead Mouse.
It further accentuated like a stressful and painful experience. But you just like sit around all day and wait and you're like hungover, dehydrated, like cross-eyed. I am the worst bridesmaid. Like, I feel like my friends know not to even ask me. Like, I didn't know, like I did everything wrong. Like, my sister's wedding, I was obviously like the maid of honor and I gave like really bad, terrible speech where it was just like reciting her like curriculum vitae, like bragging about her academic. It was just like everything wrong. This was before YouTube. Like, how are you supposed to know how to write the worst speech ever? Like, I just nailed it. I don't know. Or so I didn't do anything. I just showed up.
And tell your friends, like, I won't be your bridesmaid, but I'll certainly give you a dress. I will give you a bridesmaid dress.
Yeah, like, from now on. Yeah, exactly. So lots of like funny and kind of sad moments, but still like that's what being a bridesmaid is about and friendship in general, you know?
I kind of have the entrepreneurial itch. This, like Monica, my background's pretty corporate too, but after I moved to LA, you know, I started to see a lot of my friends and peers, women, leave their jobs in banking or consulting to either go back to business school to study entrepreneurship or just straight up start their own company. And all of these women were thriving. It was amazing. And I was like, wow, this is really cool. You know, my background is very heavy in branding and e-commerce and digital content. And so I was like, well, maybe I should start a company. And when I got the idea for this one, I was like, I really think that I'm onto something here. And so I just kind of quit my job and gave it a whirl. This is 20 months ago. Yeah.
At that point, what was the like core idea? Obviously, affordability and sure. some kind of platform that made things easy. But like, what were certain tenets that you were like, it's got to be this, this, and this? Because I know.
So first and foremost, I was like, it has to be $100. $100 is that sweet spot for a bridesmaid's dress for many women because the average price point is $165, and that's just run-of-the-mill bridesmaid's dress. If you look at some of the really high-end designers who also design wedding dresses, it can be upwards of $300 to $400. And so that's expensive for anyone. For a dress you essentially wear once, right? And that as a bridesmaid, you don't really get to choose because the bride is the primary decision maker. And so I was like, okay, $100 is like, I have no problem paying that for a dress I'm going to wear once that I don't get to pick.
I think it's really interesting because like you kind of thought about it from the angle of like, what would I be willing to pay? What seems like the right price? Uh-huh. And then the golden question was, can you actually create a dress at a $99 or $100 price point that cuts the mustard and is actually good enough? Or is there a reason why they're so much more expensive? It's because a $99 dress is going to look bad or cheap. And so that's when you started to do your research.
Yeah.
Right?
So I started to do a ton of research. I went out into the marketplace to see like what's the difference between a $500 bridesmaid's dress and one that's like less than $100.
There's no difference.
hit.
Yeah.
So started doing research, kind of got the idea. Like I love like web design. I taught myself sort of Liquid Code and, you know, we built our shop on Shopify. And so Shopify, I'm sure you know, is very easy to use and very intuitive. And so I spent some time just like laying out a website and then, you know, building product and then went to market and just, I wanted to see if people would come. And eventually, pretty quickly, people came.
Yeah, you were like, I sold 3 dresses this week. That I know. Was like the beginning. We're like, oh my God. You
know? My first week I sold 7 dresses and I was like, oh my God.
That's amazing.
So cool. Yeah.
So it's interesting too that you bring up for a dress that you're going to wear once. So it seems to me that you're not trying to fix the, will I ever wear it again thing.
No.
Because you're not saying, hey girl, this dress, you're going to wear it again. You're saying, hey girl, it's not going to hurt that bad wearing this dress that looks super cute on you and paying under $100 for it. That's not going to kill you.
Yeah. So we try to keep it real, Birdie Gray. You're probably not going to wear a dusty rose or a blush ruffled dress again after the wedding. And so, you know, I will say that we do have some pieces in our collection that lend itself nicely to evening, you know, to other black tie events, you know, especially in colors like Cabernet or Emerald or Navy or in silhouettes that are just very simple. But chances are you're not going to wear it again. And we don't pretend that you are. And so we do have a partnership with the Princess Project, which is a charity in California that donates dresses to teens in need for prom. And so we have a donation or a give back program where customers can easily send back their dress to donate to the Princess Project after the wedding.
Yeah, we also have another partnership that we just started exploring in New York where they take the dresses and they have like a network of hospitals where they're often having like kind of prom-like events that you need like prom dresses to wear for like in the hospital, like a prom event.
Yeah.
And we donated a bunch of dresses and like our dresses were like the most popular. We're like, it's not a competition, but we're winning. All the girls wanted our dresses. It was so awesome.
Yeah.
And cool. So if you think about, like, there's the pain point, like, let's be real, you're not going to wear it again. And it's going to take up a huge amount of space in your closet. And then you feel guilty throwing it away because it's like such a waste, right?
Yeah.
But then, you know, like that whole thing of like having less clutter is better. It's like, we're just like, listen, like, don't try to pretend. It's like a Halloween costume, right? Like, just get rid of it and don't feel bad about it. And the guilt we kind of assuage because we're actually putting it to a really good use and somebody's going to wear it again.
Yeah.
Right? That's fantastic. Repurpose.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's the charity in New York is called Project Sunshine.
Awesome.
Well, I was going to say that from Michelle and I, from our perspective, not just with our clients, but from having the podcast and all the listeners that email us questions or have concerns or like, the number one question we get is always about like moms and mother-in-laws, and you don't have anything to do with that. Mm-hmm. But the next big question that we get, or one that we can definitely say we get a lot of, has to do with when the bride is concerned that she's like burdening her people, her besties. It's like, have I asked them to do too much? Is it too much for me to request that they buy matching shoes? Do I have to pay for hair and makeup? And what about the bridesmaids' dresses?
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to assign colors, but I want them to look like what I want them to look like at the altar and match my flowers. But I don't want to be an asshole and like make them do something.
Bossy.
But how do I say like shades of blue? Can they send me pictures of the shade of blue that they got? And I can, you know, approve or deny. And it gets very like people want to, they want to respect their best friends, but they also want what they want.
Yeah,
exactly.
It's so stressful. It's like a very fraught moment, like occasion, right?
Yeah. I mean, for a lot of brides, we get a lot of brides who are like, you know, I don't want to stress out my bridesmaids, but, you know, to your point, I absolutely want like final say on the dresses that they choose. Our positioning is that we want to take the pain out of bridesmaids dress shopping. What that means is for the bride, making it really easy to mix and match our dresses and silhouettes across different color palettes or within the same color palette. And for the bridesmaid, keeping it really like a really easy, simple price point and just a really easy, simple sort of checkout and mobile shopping experience, or, you know, mobile or desktop. We have 10 core colors and 15 core styles. So we often tell brides, hey, pick the color you want, you know, whether it's a convertible dress or, you know, just a simple silhouette, whatever it is, and then have your bridesmaids choose the most flattering silhouette. And that's probably the easiest way to do mix and match. It sort of takes the pain out of everything. So a bride will say, hey, go to Birdie Gray, buy one of their, you know, dusty blue dresses, and then the bridesmaids will come and pick their favorite.
Yeah, no one does like super, super matchy-matchy anymore. That's like kind of very dated in 80s. Yeah, like Michelle, what you were saying with all those different pain points, again, like we're really thoughtful about how do we make that less awkward and brutal for her and for her bridesmaids. So obviously the price point, okay, you're not going to feel bad making your girlfriends pay $99 for a dress. Like that's like a clubbing dress. When we think about what styles make the cut for the collection, if there has to be something for every girl, including the like the one Prego that everybody has in their wedding party too.
Yes.
Right? So literally, you know, if the average bridal party size is five women, then you will be able to find something that that each person will be happy with because there's enough to pick from.
Yeah.
But not too much, right? So that's the thing. A lot of our competitors have hundreds of styles. So if you're like, get a pink dress from site XYZ, there's like 500,000 different pink styles and shades of pink. And then they're like, ugh, it's just more time and annoyance for everybody involved, right?
Yeah.
For us, it's like, there's just these shades.
Let's keep it really simple.
Yeah.
And I have done that where I, as a bridesmaid, have ordered a dress off one of those big sites. And I picked my own shade of purple and my own silhouette, and I was actually the only bridesmaid. So she really was like, do whatever you want. I just want it to be purple.
Yeah.
But when it arrived, I was a little bit stunned by the material and thought like, oh, well, for a $340 dress, it felt like a tablecloth. And I did have to get it altered and I did have to buy Spanx. And I think I was very happy with how I looked on the day of, but I was out $500, and that's the most expensive outfit I own.
Have you worn it again?
Oh my gosh, it's like stuffed up there. To your point, I can't get myself to throw it away because I'm like, what if one Halloween I want to be a ruffled purple, you know?
We get that feedback a lot. Actually, one thing that our customers love about our dresses is how comfortable they are. So traditional dresses have like a stiffer sort of lining that's not very flexible. We made sure that all of our dresses are lined in a very stretchy sort of lock fabric.
It feels like a t-shirt on the side. The inside. They're shockingly comfortable.
Yeah.
On the inside, it feels like a t-shirt.
Yeah. So the lining of the dress is made of like a fabric that is similar to, or similarly stretchy as like a t-shirt. Yeah.
And they're all lined.
They're all lined down to the floor.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And like the sneaky thing about that is not only is it super comfortable for the day of when you're standing around in it for hours, right? It actually looks really good in pictures because it's that interlock woven fabric is very forgiving, right? So it doesn't have to be perfectly tailored to your body. It'll still drape like really nicely.
Yeah.
And it's just like not reveal every single bump and curve of whatever underwear you're wearing. So it's very sneaky, effective, and comfortable at the same time.
Yeah.
And pockets.
Whose idea was it to put the pockets in?
It was my idea. I mean, I only buy skirts with pockets. And it's funny because beyond just, oh, let's add pockets, I was like, what do bridesmaids have to do all day? They have to take pictures, they have to take boomerangs and selfies. So let's make these pockets deep enough to fit an iPhone Plus. Oh. We originally were like, oh, let's size it to an iPhone. And I was like, nope. Plus.
Today we had a model trying on some of the dresses and Grace was like, pick up your iPhone Plus and make sure that it fits perfectly into the pockets. Walk around. Can we see it when you turn around? Like obsessed.
And you can't see it. It doesn't weigh it down.
It doesn't weigh it
down.
When
you have it in the pocket.
Yeah. Or as a bridesmaid, you want extra lip gloss. You want tissue for the altar.
Or like all your blotting papers because you're like standing in the sun. Like,
yeah. Awesome.
Yeah.
Now we want to try them on.
I know.
Yeah. You guys would be surprised.
I feel like, and like little details like that, and Grace is like the secret sauce in like the details and the design piece, again, because I'm like the boring janitor in the back, like doing Excel, but like
janitor.
The level to which that she has like really engineered this with every last detail in mind. Like today, for example, like some of the dresses are meant to be flowy and she wants them to move a certain way when you're walking down the aisle, walking across the dance floor. And so she built in like extra fabric, like a fold. It's not like a ruffle,
like
a little bit of a pleat. Like I don't even know what those things are called. So that when you walk, it's like you're floating on a cloud. I was like, oh, you're so clever. Like I never would have thought of that, right? So like the way the straps feel, again, to make sure that they're not cutting in, extra like little loops so you can tie it. It's just like, I honestly feel like it's the world's most obsessively designed bridesmaid's dress. It's just so thoughtfully done.
Are straps adjustable on them?
They're not adjustable, but we have extra length that's tacked in on the back. And so you can work with your tailor to add extra length or you can just snip them off. And the reason for that is because oftentimes like the adjuster just doesn't look right on the back of the dress. It just doesn't look as clean.
Got it.
So we just decided, okay, well, we could do a bunch of like metallic or clear plastic like strap adjusters, or we can just keep it really clean and have the girls work with their tailors to adjust the straps.
And let's talk about the process. When you order it, do you order true to size? Like, how do you suggest that works?
So our size, well, first, we are direct to consumer and we're a digital native brand. And so we're only available online.
Okay.
And our sizing runs from extra small to 3XL. So we often say, pick your t-shirt size. And we have size charts and we have fit notes and styling notes within the product page and all of that. But truly,
I just
want to
take a moment and say, like, you are appealing to all sizes. And I really commend you on this because this is another issue is like, oftentimes, the XS, extra small to 3XL, you don't get that range. Or oftentimes you'll get the extra small, but you're not going to get that 3XL. So thank you for being inclusive of all body types.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's pretty simple. We say pick your t-shirt size and chances are it's going to fit. And if it doesn't, you have 2 weeks to make an exchange or a return. It's that simple.
So for me, I'm under 5 feet. I'm 4'11". I don't know how tall you guys are. You're Asian, so you run small like I do mostly. But how tall are you?
We're 2 feet five.
You're 2 feet five. Okay. I'm 4'11". So for me, like always, like if I'm not buying a petite, like even when I do buy a petite, let's be honest, I have to have things altered. So like, do you make it in a way where it's really easy to get the dress and take it to any seamstress or alter or like dry cleaner to be altered or like?
Yeah. I mean, the hemline is probably the only thing that you might have to alter. I mean, you know, depending on your body shape and everything like that. But if you're 4'11", it's pretty easy. Just it's a standard sort of trip to your tailor to get the hemline altered.
Yeah. Most of our customers say that the only alterations they need is on the length and the rest of it is it fits great and snugly enough and comfortable. So,
yeah.
Awesome.
imagine that all of our listeners are actually looking at the website now. And point us to the dresses that are your favorites, the sort of crowd pleasers, most popular, or, you know, the ones that you love the most.
I mean, I would say there's a dress called the Grace dress. It's a chiffon convertible dress, and I loved
it
so much. I literally named it after myself. So I'd say that's probably one of my favorites. Convertibles, you know, offer versatility, which is great, and I think people like that. We just launched a new dress called the Spence dress, which is this gorgeous chiffon off-the-shoulder style that's just crushing it. It's one of those that you definitely can wear outside of a wedding environment or outside of like a bridal party environment.
It's stunning.
It's just very like elegant.
So there's a dress that's named after me called the Moni dress, and it's very sexy. It's the sexiest one in the collection. Thank you very much. Grace designed it with me in mind. It has like a deep V front. It's kind of one of our more modern, sleeker silhouettes, so there's no pleating or anything like that.
It's less traditional. It's a really clean silhouette, but like a plunging front halter and a plunging V-back.
Yeah, the back is super sexy, and then that's also convertible. You can tie it in all these really different beautiful, like, detailed ways, because there's like extra buttons and snaps on the back, so it's really cool. I love that one also because it's named after me, and I also love the Jan or the Jan dress, which Grace named after my husband, whose name is Jan. He's a man. His name is Jan, though.
But it's spelled J-A-N.
So all of our customers and the world always pronounce it Jan.
Yeah.
It also has this really beautiful swimsuit back that's also like super modern and clean. I feel like it's a very like New York style.
Yeah, yeah. It's like very simple. Like the front was based off of a yoga top that I have, and the back is based off of a swimsuit. It's, you know, like low plunging back.
Yeah, those two go very well together.
It's super cute.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you, Birdie Gray, the name, where did that come from?
That's a good question. So Birdie is a nickname of mine. And so I was like, if I ever start a company, I want to include Birdie in it in some way because it's deeply personal. And gray is my favorite color. So Birdie Gray.
Cute.
And then the colors were very curated with a smaller color list, like you mentioned, 10 core colors.
Yep.
They pair or trio pretty nicely together. And it seems like the palette all kind of matches, even if you go darks and lights together.
Yeah. So the idea is like, let's do blushes and mauves that blend really well together, or let's do cool tones that blend really well together. So someone can wear Dove, Sage, Dusty Blue and mix and match, and it still looks gorgeous. Our blushes can be mixed and matched. Our jewel tones look really great sort of combined. And so, you know, whether someone chooses one color for everyone in the party or a palette, it's just really easy.
And we recognize like how important, like color is the most important thing when brides are, because they're choosing their flower and their whole kind of theme or whatever. So like these colors have been really, again, obsessively refined over time, even though we're only 2 years old. Like we see how it photographs, we hear the feedback we get from our customers, and we actually change the colors like to, you know, dial them up or dial them down to what we think is actually more beautiful, more complementary, more mix and matchy. So we feel really strongly that these are like, we've done all the work already. Like, these are the right shades.
Yeah.
So Monica and Grace are offering you, our listeners, or your bridesmaids, free shipping. So when you order the bridesmaid dress or dresses at checkout, you're going to enter code BIGWEDDING. Okay? BIGWEDDING at checkout through the end of June. You're going to get free shipping. So hurry, go get those dresses. Ladies, thank you so much for this amazing business model and making these beautiful, cool, something for everyone bridesmaid dresses with pockets in awesome colors. I can't wait to get one. Thank you so much.
Of course.
Our pleasure.
Thank you so much for having us.
Yeah, this was so fun. Thanks, ladies.
Thank you.